is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Thank you for being here today. Another candidate interview. We're trying to talk to as many candidates as possible over the next couple of weeks, with the ballots having just gone out in the mail. Congressman Peter DeFazio is on with us. Congressman, good afternoon.
Hey, Kyle. Thanks. Always enjoy being on the show. Hey, I heard your show yesterday. If at the beginning I could just respond to a couple of things.
Certainly.
Mr. Scarlatos said that he was for some additional pandemic relief for small business. He was asked on September 22nd at the Eugene Rotary, do you think there's a need for another pandemic relief bill? And if so, what are your top priorities? Scarlatos said, in short, no, I do not. Now he's trying to change his tune. A lot of your listeners probably, don't agree with me at least part of the time or more, but they know where I stand. With this young man, I'm afraid you don't. He says one thing on Fox. He says another thing in his ads on MSNBC. And then the second thing is he said that I didn't get my infrastructure bill out of committee. Actually, the bill passed out of my committee. It was a 24-hour marathon markup. And then I carried that bill attached to other bills to the floor of the House. And it was a 2 days on the floor of the House, and it passed the House of Representatives. Granted, it only got 3 Republican votes. Most of my other bills this year have been bipartisan, in fact, unanimous, with Republican support to take away antitrust from the health insurance industry, the Water Resources Development Bill to pour more money into dredging our ports and harbors. And my bill to save the post office got 88 Republican votes. So he just needs to not lie about my record. He should tell people where he stands.
Let's talk about how the race is going. It appears that both sides, both parties, very invested in this contest. Do you see it being tighter than it has been in a number of years?
This is going to be the most expensive congressional race in the history of the state of Oregon. Mr. Scarlatos raised $2.4 million last quarter, and 80% of the money came from outside the state. That's a lot more money than I normally raise for an entire election. That's just one quarter. I raise more money in a quarter than I've ever raised, but I couldn't match his $2.4 million. We're in the game here.
So what do you attribute all the interest in this race to being this time around, and also the amount of money that he's been able to raise?
The Republicans targeted me starting in January when I assumed the chairmanship of my committee back in the January of 19. He's gotten, Ted Cruz, a Republican right-wing senator from Texas who has been almost single-handedly blocking additional COVID relief, has put $100,000 into him. Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader, who also opposes any additional pandemic relief, has put a bunch of money into him. And then Donald Trump Jr. And Eric Trump retweet all of his fundraising requests. And that's where the bulk of his money comes from. But it isn't from Oregon. It's from Trump followers in other states around the country.
You've been in Congress for a number of years. Talk about your current committee assignments and the impact you feel your role has towards helping Oregon.
Congress is a seniority-based organization, and I finally got to be the chairman of the Transportation Infrastructure Committee. It is one of the least partisan committees in Washington, D.C., because rebuilding our nation's infrastructure is something that shouldn't be political or partisan. And I have moved a significant number of bills out of that committee in Portland, Oregonians. I moved out a bill to reauthorize the Coast Guard, increase their funding, and to say that the Coast Guard gets paid during government shutdowns, which they didn't during the last one, that was just a travesty. And that bill came out of my committee unanimously and passed the House by a wide margin. We're trying to negotiate, a conclusion of it with the Senate. I passed out a water resources development bill to access $10 billion that has been collected from taxpayers since the Reagan era, stuck somewhere in the Treasury and not spent on maintaining our harbors. And we have jetties failing and harbors shoaling in. I passed that bill out of my committee unanimously and on the floor of the House unanimously in what historians say is the most bitter partisan Congress since the post-Civil War era. And then I can do individual things. I got the Corps of Engineers next summer is going to come and dredge up the Rogue River because the boat basin has been blocked for 2 years in a row because of gravel migrating from upriver. Normally, they won't go upriver. But I'm getting the Corps to do that next year. I just got a $16 million grant for Douglas County to redo the Oakland Bridge, which has been on the list for a long time, and help them with other bridge issues they have. I just got the $10 million for the Coos Bay Rail Link, which is a lifeline for businesses down in Coos County. Lumber and wood products and chips and other things. It's cheaper than trucking. With this position on this committee, I can not only deliver good national policy like my infrastructure bill, which did pass the House, despite what Mr. Scarlato says, that would rebuild our national infrastructure. You know, we're living off the Eisenhower era. It's wearing out. I mean, Douglas County alone has a couple of hundred bridges that need replacement. Nationwide, we got 47,000 bridges that need either significant repair or replacement. My bill will take care of that problem. 40% of the national highway network has deteriorated to the point we have to rebuild it, not just resurface it. I'll take care of that problem. I also included in that getting the federal government back into partnering with local communities for wastewater. I've got communities in my district that the state has put under a mandate to build or upgrade their sewer systems, including Lakeside. And they don't have the money, and they can't afford to raise the rates that much. The people can't afford it. And I put $47 billion into partnering again with cities and counties on wastewater. So I am in a position where I can get a lot done for this district and for the country.
What about your role and your committee's role with the Federal Emergency Management Agency? That's certainly an agency getting a lot of attention right now.
Well, my committee has jurisdiction over the Federal Emergency Management Agency. I got the regional administrator down from Seattle when the Holiday Fire near my house was still burning. We went upriver to see the total devastation of the town of Blue River. I visited the fire up the Umpqua. Then I got the national administrator to come out and survey all the damage in Oregon. I think 10 days ago, a week ago last weekend, he spent 2 days in Oregon. We went all the way down to Phoenix and Talent, which aren't forested areas, but large portions of the town were torched because this was an extraordinary event, a result of climate change, unprecedented winds out of the Northeast, record dryness. The Holiday Fire, the fire up the Umpqua, and then the fires, the Sandy M, were again total devastation. So I managed to get the state asked for an emergency declaration from the administrator. The president has to sign it. I called Mark Meadows, president's chief of staff. You know, Mark was on my committee for 8 years. We don't agree on a lot of stuff politically, but we get along. We're friends. And he said, okay, I'll take care of it. And he called me an hour later. He said, we're on Air Force One. The president just signed the declaration. So I got FEMA in here now. One of the biggest problems we're going to have is housing. Four people have been displaced. I think we've got more than 7,000 or 8,000 people displaced There are a lot of them are in hotels or staying with friends. We've got to get them into longer-term solutions. We've got to help them rebuild. And all that is under the jurisdiction of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Their budget, last year we got them a huge allocation of money anticipating disasters, and they have more than $40 billion on account ready to spend to help restore small businesses, individual homes, make sure that toxic materials don't get into the water supply. Bear Creek feeds the Rogue River. They're worried about toxics getting in the Rogue. We've got issues up the Umpqua. We have huge issues up the Mackenzie of potential, toxic in the water supply, and the same up in Santiam, supplying all of Marion County. And they've already got people here. They've got EPA out here, and we've already begun the cleanup before we get a lot more rain and a lot of that junk gets in the river.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County, a candidate interview with Congressman Peter DeFazio. Back in a couple minutes, the interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1247 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249. Lars Larson coming at 1 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. More candidate interviews in coming days. U.S. Senator Jeff Merkley, his opponent Joe Ray Perkins, and separate programs. That will be early next week, and we're adding other candidates in morning conversation segments as well. Congressman Peter DeFazio on with us this afternoon. 4th Congressional District, an interesting mix of conservatives, progressives, moderates. How do you feel that the issues you champion sync up with residents of the district?
Well, Kyle, I focus on the basic. How are we going to put more people back to work, get them a good living, get them a decent wage? Oh, yeah, by the way, my opponent said that he does not support any minimum wage. He's trying now to say, he just meant that there shouldn't be a federal minimum wage. No. He was absolutely unequivocal that he does not believe. What's your philosophy on the minimum wage, Alex Carlatos? I don't think there should be a minimum wage. I don't think it should be mandated. There was no qualification. He's saying the Oregon, 110,000 people in my district work for minimum wage, and he thinks they earn too much money? Give me a break. So I focus on what is going to help people's lives, put them back to work. I also have a very active staff in my district office helping people with individual problems with the federal government. I've gone toe-to-toe with the VA for years when they tried to close or downgrade the Roseburg healthcare facility. It took me 9 years, but I built a brand-new state-of-the-art facility up in Eugene because they were crammed into a little tiny clinic before, and people had to wait months to get appointments. So I focus on the real needs of the people in the district. And I always tell them where I stand. They might not agree, but at least they know there's a lot of politicians or aspiring politicians like my opponent who tell one group of people what he thinks they want to hear and then tell another group, actually, that wasn't my position. This is my position. So I don't do that.
How well do you feel the federal government has handled the COVID-19 situation?
It has been a miserable failure. We have 4% of the world's population, and we have 23% of the deaths. The president, refused to take strength. Said, he thought it would panic the American people if he told them to wear masks, observe social distancing, and that this is a deadly disease. There are actually memos have been uncovered that, he knew early on, even when he was out there saying it was no worse than the annual flu. And my opponent says he supports him 100%, and he's been doing a great job with COVID. I couldn't disagree with that more. My opponent also said during the debate that he always observes social distancing himself and wears masks. We have many, many photographs of him recently at rallies and events where he is unmasked and the other people are unmasked, and they're not observing social distancing, and we're seeing a big uptick in Oregon. And yeah, for a lot of people, it's not real serious, but for some people, it's deadly. And even young people can be affected for life. There was a woman in Eugene, they wrote a big story about her. She was a marathon runner. She was at a college graduation party. She got it. She, 5 months later, can't walk up a flight of stairs without stopping. This is deadly stuff, not to be messed around with. We need a coordinated national strategy, not state by state. We don't have enough personal protective equipment because the president won't use the Defense Production Act to force companies to make it. We still have companies exporting personal protective equipment out of the United States when our nurses are reusing masks 20 times, which you're not supposed to do. That's dangerous.
A lot of money going out the door during COVID-19. Talk about the impact of dealing with this situation on the federal budget deficit.
I think that the money we spent on the CARES Act kept the economy from tipping into a Great Depression. And the president's own appointed head of the Federal Reserve says we need a large new package now, or when all these benefits expire the end of December, millions of people are going to fall into poverty. They're not going to be able to afford their rent. They're not going to be able to feed their kids when the extended federal unemployment goes away. We will fall into a Great Depression early next year. And yet there are 20 hardline Republicans in the Senate who say no more money for anybody. And my opponent has thrown in with them. I just don't agree with that. I got small businesses failing left and right. They need paycheck protection. I got individuals who can't afford to feed their kids properly, pay prescription drug co-payments. And other things, they need those individual checks that's in the HEROES bill that I voted for. The small businesses need the payroll protection that's in the bill I voted for. We need to extend, the federal unemployment for people whose unemployment is expiring. In Oregon, they can't afford to carry the burden of extended unemployment past December 31st, because that's when the federal help to the state goes away. That's going to be tens of thousands of people with zero income. I support the provisions of the HEROES Act that would extend that into next year, but my opponent doesn't.
Many states pivoting to vote by mail. Oregon's done it for a long time, but are you concerned with these states at the last minute putting together infrastructure that it might impact the integrity of the federal election?
My opponent says he's against universal vote by mail. Guess what? Oregon has universal vote by mail. If you are registered to vote, you get a ballot in the mail. And that's what these other states are doing. These are people who have filed for voter registration and have been certified by their state. They're going to get it in the mail. I think it's a heck of a lot safer than the 10 states that have virtual electronic elections with no paper backup. When we know that the Russians and others are trying to hack our elections and sow discord in this country, having 10 states that don't even have a way to recount and you have to believe what the computer told you, that's a lot less safe than vote by mail. And by the way, a federal judge just ruled that this jerk who Trump put in charge of the Postal Service, DeJoy, this billionaire who's trying to destroy it, just said you must restore all of the sorting machines you took out. You must put back the mailboxes, and you have to allow your workers to work overtime, and you have to give priority to ballot.
Congressman Peter DeFazio, thanks for being on with us this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle. Always enjoy the show. Thanks.
1257 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.